New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses. Season 19, Episode 52. This is Writing Excuses.
End of year reflections, navigating speed bumps.
15 minutes long.
Because you're in a hurry.
And we're not that smart.
I'm Mary Robinette.
I'm Dong Won.
I'm Aaron.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Howard.
And as the year comes to a close, we've been talking about a lot of things, but one of the things we haven't really been talking about is kind of how you keep going when life has thrown you speed bumps. This can be a lot of different things. It can be a career speed bump. It can be your body. It can be circumstances around you. So we're all going to just kind of talk about some of the speed bumps that we've been encountering and some of the strategies that we've used to navigate around them.
You know what? The speed bump metaphor, I think may have been mine when we originally suggested this, because as a younger, healthier man, speed bumps were things that I would just maybe slow down for a little and then just rattle and shake on my way over them. You know, I'll just plow through it. I'll just muscle through this. I will just, I'll put in the extra hours. I'll put in the less sleep, whatever. And over the last couple of years, I've realized that that approach is no longer the option. The vehicle I am driving over these speed bumps is now a 72 station wagon that does not have, well, 68 station wagon, if we're actually talking my model year. So it does have wood panels on the sides, with a bad suspension, and the back of the station wagon is full of poorly packed glassware. If I decide to hit the speed bump at 30 miles an hour, I am going to break things, and it's a mess. And so my life over the last couple of years has been built around activities that look a lot like, metaphorically speaking, pulling up to the speed bump, stepping out of the car, renting somebody's backhoe, scraping the speed bump off the street, getting back in the car, and then driving forward. And if it sounds like I move more slowly than I used to, yes. Yes, I do.
And I have been dealing with emotional speed bump. Last year, 2023, is what my family has taken to calling the year of five deaths, which I'm not going to go into a great deal of detail about that, because as you can tell, it's a little bit of a downer. But I kept, we also kept saying that my life was badly paced and badly plotted, and that the author kept reaching for the same trick. It's like, come on. But we couldn't go 2 months. And my mom was one of the people who I lost last year. And each time I kept thinking, okay, I just have to get through this. And then after that, I'm going to be able, and there was never an after. So what I had to do was come up with ways to be able to keep moving while things were falling apart around me. I turned in Martian contingency a week before mom died. I had to have my cat put down on my birthday. I mean, it was like, it sucked. And I had deadlines. So it was, the renting of the backhoe, it's like, that is a strategy to get around a thing. for me, because it mostly messed with my executive function, making decisions, any of that was just incredibly difficult. And I had competing priorities. I wound up having to break everything down into smaller and smaller pieces in order to make any progress at all. And learning to celebrate making any progress was hugely important. And this year, which I thought, has been a different set of things. We had an unexpected move this year because of different family health things. And the coping skills that I learned last year have been very, very useful with those speed bumps. So there you go. I could keep talking
breaking things down into smaller and smaller pieces. Would you like to peer through the boxes of glassware in the back of my station wagon?
You know, it's funny because speed bumps in these cases that we've talked about so far can be very hard things, very difficult things. And sometimes it can be something that you do to yourself. So in my case, I made the bright choice to move across the country this year. I packed up my life in New York and I moved to Southern California. And it's been a really wonderful decision for me. It's been the right choice. And I'm really, really delighted by where my life is at in a lot of ways. But also, talk about a goddamn speed bump, you know? And it was so much more disruptive than I anticipated. And it definitely caused a cascade of issues in my life, some of them professional and some of them personal. And there's a way in which all of this has been really joyful to do, but also that doesn't mean it wasn't a speed bump. That doesn't mean that I didn't need to make space for myself, make space for the people around me, and, you know, adjust to certain realities of what it was going to be to go through that level of disruption, right? And so how you plan for and how you respond to speed bumps, it's like hugely important. And I maybe learned a small lesson of I'm not in my 20s anymore or even in my 30s anymore and that I need to maybe make more space for certain disruptions than I needed to, even 5 years ago. And so, it's been an interesting moment of reflection as I'm looking at building a new life here, building new community here, things like that. But also how to keep plate spinning, keep balls in the air while doing multiple things at once.
My major speed bump this year and last year has been a recent diagnosis of depression and panic disorder, both of which recently upgraded, we'll use that word, to severe depression and severe panic disorder, which is just delightful. That's, and like Dongwon was saying about, planning for disruptions, that's the reason you haven't really heard from me throughout the year. I was on a few episodes that we recorded very early on, but I did hit a point actually in 22 where I realized that my choices were to either back away temporarily from this podcast or quit it altogether, which I did not want to do. But that's the state that my brain was in and to some extent continues to be in. I hope to be on and will be on many, many more episodes next year. But yeah, we call this the brain shingles. I got the brain shingles.
Yeah.
And it's not the good kind of shingles that keep rain off of things.
No, not at all.
It's interesting listening to all this because I feel like I, knock on wood, in 2024, like had not had as, a huge like speed bump of that kind, whether unanticipated, whether,
self-inflicted.
I liked, so as somebody who does not drive, I like to think about something that I do in my life where I create my own sort of speed bumps or cracks in the sidewalk to be tripped over. Like somebody in a grocery store who doesn't get a cart and starts getting items off the shelf, right? It works a bit. Like you're like, okay, I can hold this can. I can hold this soda. If I reach, just rearrange this, I can put this thing on top. And you never know what will be the either item obstacle in your path where it's a very small obstacle, but you're holding a lot of things and it's a very delicate balance. And if something can throw it off, and now all of a sudden, you know, things are going everywhere and you're trying to hold on to everything and not drop any of the items and create a spill on aisle five.
I feel personally attacked and called out right now. I don't think you've even seen me.
You know, Aaron, it's not so much that you are your own worst enemy as it is that we are all our own that exact same worst enemy.
Aaron is, I will say, an extreme example of it. Having been in a bar with her, watching her continuing to work while on a cruise ship, I'm like, no. Aaron has a bigger capacity for stacking things and believing that she can continue to carry them than anyone I've ever met.
Yay! And like, on the plus side, like, there are things that you can do to like learn yourself. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I know this about myself. And so thinking about like, what are the strategies like to figure out, like, what are the things that we need to do? And I know that we are coming up on a break. So maybe the time to talk about those strategies is on the other side of it, question mark?
That is exactly what I was thinking. So let's take a quick break.
So my thing this week is I want to talk about the movie Furiosa, which I really loved. I sort of feel like there aren't enough people talking about it. I feel like it didn't get quite the love that I hoped it would. Mad Max Fury Road, one of my favorite films. I think we can all agree it's an absolute masterpiece of action cinema. And finally, they released the follow-up to that, which is actually a prequel that tells the story of Furiosa's childhood and early life as she sort of becomes the Imperator that we meet in Fury Road. One thing that's really interesting is this movie is structured so differently from Fury Road. And I think a lot of people went into it with the expectation of getting that same hit, getting that same high. And instead, it's a slower, quieter, more traditional drama in certain ways as we watch this person grow up and develop into this this sort of force of nature we meet in the future. And Chris Hemsworth is also in it, playing opposite Anya Taylor-Joy. Chris Hemsworth plays the villain, a character named Dementis. And it's one of the best performances I've ever seen from him. Then he brings a weirdness and a humor to it, but also a deep, unsettling menace by the end of it. So I highly recommend Furiosa. Remind yourself that this isn't Fury Road. It's its own thing. You know, manage your expectations around that. But just some absolute killer action sequences that I really love. Some great character work and great performances. George Miller is like nobody else out there. And anything he does, I will show up for.
Hey friends, the 2025 retreat registration is open. We have two amazing writing retreats coming up, and we cordially invite you to enroll in them. For those of you who sign up before January 12th, 2025, how is that even a real date? We're off.
Friend.
As you can probably hear my cat say, we've got a special treat for our friends. We're offering a little something special to sweeten the pot. You'll be able to join several of my fellow Writing Excuses hosts and me on a Zoom early bird meet and greet call to chit-chat, meet fellow writers, ask questions, and get even more excited about Writing Excuses retreats. To qualify to join the early bird meet and greet, all you need to do is register to join a Writing Excuses retreat, either our Regenerate retreat in June or our annual cruise in September 2025. Just register by January 12th. Learn more at writingexcuses.com/retreats.
Heading into the new year, we're all thinking about what our intentions and goals are. It's hard not only to set your targets, but live up to them, especially as writers and creatives in a world that doesn't always seem eager to support you financially. That's why building your financial literacy and starting to work towards a stable financial base is an important aspect of developing your writing career. We talk a lot about the creative tools you need, but peace of mind about your bottom line will give you the space to pursue your goals and develop the career that you want. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, and your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. You don't need to be rich. Acorn lets you invest with the spare money you've got right now. You can start with $5 or even just your spare change. Head to acorns.com/WX or download the Acorns app
to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid claim endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/WX.
Strategies are one of the things that actually keep us going. And I think all of us have strategies that are probably overlapping and some things that are wildly different. I would love to hear about some of the strategies that you've found that have kept you functional while you have been trying not to drop things in a grocery store.
One of the strategies that I learned accidentally was at the beginning of this year, I decided as a New Year's resolution that I was going to stop eating sugar because I was snacking on sugar constantly, especially at work. And the depression skyrocketed over the course of about 2 or 3 weeks. And I realized that without knowing it, I had been self-medicating with sugar as a way of getting through the day. And I'm still kind of sort of trying to do that, but smarter. The lesson to learn from this, the way this turns from an accidental thing into an actual coping strategy, is once I realized that that had become an important part of my process, then that became a thing to discuss more directly with my family, with my employer, with my psychiatrist, and say, well, this is what I have been doing. What can I do instead that is healthier than that? What are ways that I can manage this depression without just sugaring up and muscling through it?
Years ago, on this very podcast, we would joke about I think it may have been an April Fool's episode, the excuses we make instead of writing. And I think one of them was, oh gosh, I sure need to vacuum my keyboard. And I've looked at this last couple of years, I've spent a lot of time rebuilding literally where my keyboard sits, where my monitors sit, where I sit. And I didn't get very much writing or much work done because I was spending so much time paying attention to a very small pain point. You know, oh, I have to reach for this thing and I'm reaching further than I think I should. How do I fix that? I am going to take the time right now to fix it. And I ended up building an entire 2C stand, 3 boom rig surrounding a zero gravity chair where I don't have to turn my head much. I don't have to stretch my arms much, but I can do everything I need to do from that chair. It took a long time to build, and the strategy really amounted to, Howard, if you don't make time to move that piece of speed bump now, then you are going to wear a hole in yourself, you know, reaching a little extra far or having to get up and do a thing. It's sort of like ergonomics. And I don't counsel everybody, look at your workspace and go full ergonomic, you know, contextual inquiry. But at the same time, if something is causing you a little bit of pain, there might be a very easy way to make it stop doing that so you can get more work done later.
That's been one of the strategies that has worked well for me is identifying the obstacle. What is the thing that is causing me problems? I also want to say that while we're talking about speed bumps, I just want to quickly put a flag in this, that the speed bump can be a happy thing, as Dong Wan that referred to, that sometimes, like, if you've just won an award or had a short story accepted for the first time, that can become an obstacle because your brain is very bad. It will just say, you're off balance, but it cannot always tell the difference between happy off balance and frustrated, sad off balance. So I identify obstacles. And one of the obstacles for me, the biggest one, was executive function, that I was just having a hard time making decisions and holding things in my brain. So because of that, I started doing lists. And then when the lists got to be too much, I backed off of that and started doing something that I call two-hand choice, which is actually a trick that I learned through animal stuff, when you've got a nonverbal animal, you can offer them two hands. Each hand represents a choice. Do you want to go inside or do you want to go outside? And I learned that with my mom during her last weeks, when she became nonverbal, was still quite present, I could offer her two-hand choice and she could still respond, even when she got to the point where she was only looking at the thing. But if I offered her, like if I said, what do you want to wear? And I showed her a closet full of things, she had no way of letting me know. But if I held up two things, she could let me know, blue dress. And then just looking at the left hand. And with that, the other piece that I learned was that if she never chose the gray dress, I stopped offering it to her. So what I started doing with myself was when I came up on a thing and I was tempted into procrastination or having a difficulty making a decision, I'm like, which of those two choices has served me before? And that would be the choice that I would go with. And I would stop offering myself the choice that wasn't serving me. And that got me through some times where things were very hard.
Yeah, I think I love that. I think I'm thinking about pie all of a sudden. And
that happens to me a lot.
Yeah. Okay.
And the it's food always the food or the infinitely repeating irrational number?
Both. No, just kidding. The food pie. Because
oh,
I'm
now
thinking.
I'm sad.
Sorry. The thing that I think about a lot is like thinking back to the past, like what have you been able to mm-hmm. handle also? So what has served you mm-hmm. and also like where what was the one slice of pie too many? Like yeah. if a pie is delicious, you want to eat all the slices. And sometimes it takes time to figure it out. Like, okay, two, and I really wish I'd had more. Like I actually did have enough room for a third piece of pie.
The dessert
but
corner.
Like 10, it turns out, was not good. That was not a good idea. So somewhere between 10 and 3 mm-hmm. is like the mm-hmm. right thing. And I do that with projects. And it's especially when you repeat projects, I know like sort of how big a slice is it? Like this thing, if I do this one thing, I'm only going to have room for one or two other things. When I'm teaching a college class, like that is something that takes a lot of time to prep the lessons and talk to students. And so early on when I started teaching, I was like, oh, teaching, it's just take a minute. And then later I learned, no, that's big. I can only do like maybe one or two side projects and teach and still get sleep and still, you yep. know, drink water and still work out or the things that make me happy. And I think for me, that's the second lesson, which is that like, think of yourself, like you are an important part of the equation. If you are not here, you cannot carry the things from the grocery store. You cannot eat the pie.
Yeah.
And so I think that it can be easy to neglect the you in the equation and think like, I will just outwork it. I will outdo it. I will undersleep it. I will, you know, figure it out. But ultimately, like when you take time for yourself, I think it gives you the strength sometimes to be able to do more by taking a pause and putting yourself first. So when I bring work to a bar, while that sounds wild, part of that is me saying, if I finish this amount of work, I really like socializing with my friends and I'm going to get to do that after I finish this, as opposed to doing it in my room and then just working and working and working and never leaving the house.
Yeah.
And so it's a way for me to keep myself in mind, if only by moving my location.
I'm completely in agreement with everything you've just said, and I've been going through a similar process. You know, I think probably starting in, I'm thinking of the last few years as an era, I think it was the triage years, you mm-hmm. know, like starting in 2020, kind of up till, you know, sometime this year has been a real era of like me realizing how overbalanced I was in terms of the work-life balance and how much I need to do to keep up with the current treadmill I put myself on, right? And so a lot of it was, that's why I've been close to submissions for a long time, things like that, of figuring out, okay, how do I rebalance this in a way that moves from this triage mode of taking care of what's on fire in front of me to being able to approach my life in a more sustainable and more balanced way, right? And so kind of thing, which is a little similar to what you're talking about in terms of like, how many slices of pie can I actually handle? And how do I make space for the things in my life that are restorative to me that aren't just work focused, right? How do I have friends who aren't just publishing people? How do I have hobbies outside of the space that I work in? And how do I have other kind of creative projects that sustain me, right? So balancing all of those things has been really important. And it maybe even more importantly than all of that, being patient with myself, even as I know mm-hmm. that this has been a multi-year process and that I can say now coming up on the end of this year of like, oh, I moved out of triage, I'm doing this. That's probably not true. There's probably still going to be moments that that comes up or that may extend further. And, you know, as I build towards sustainability, that's going to require all these different kinds of shifts in myself and checking in with myself. How do I feel about this? Well, how does my body feel when I'm working at this level? How emotionally am I balancing the needs of my clients versus my own needs versus the needs of the people I care about in my life, right? So juggling all of those things has required a lot of therapy, no small amount of medication, and a lot of just work on myself to figure out how to approach that in a healthier way.
In many cases, for me, I think it comes down to the graduation from the early wisdom, which is you can't have it all, to the later wisdom of, dude, you don't actually want it all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that second piece of wisdom is incredibly liberating. The realization that, hey, you know what? A lot of these things that I've been reaching for, if I stop reaching for them and just reach for the things that I want the very most, I will be happier because I didn't really want those things. Maybe other people told me I wanted those things. Maybe TV told me. I don't know what the psychology is behind it. I just know that by narrowing my focus a little bit and saying, the thing that I want most is the thing that I'm going to keep in front of me and the thing that I'm going to keep aiming myself at, and everything else I'm going to let myself ignore if I need to.
And I think as you do that, you know, it can be really difficult because I think we're taught that anything we let go of, A, will never come again. B, was the best thing ever. You know, C, that our lives will never be the same without it. But I think, you know, a lot of times, like, once that decision moment is passed, you move on with the life that you have. And that is something that's really important. And also to remember that other people are often much kinder to you than you are to yourself. It can be hard to say, like, I need to step back from this. I can't do that. And I think a lot of times you think people will judge you. But people are kind. Like, if you tell people, hey, I need X, like, 99 out of 100 times, they'll be like, okay, great. Like, let me know what I can do to be a part of that. Let me know how I can help. And the 1 out of 100 is somebody you don't need in your life anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think telling people that before you hit a crisis point also helps. It helps you not need more because you are in a healthier place. And it also places less emotional burden on them.
The shopping cart teaches us that we're our own worst enemy. Writing teaches us that we're our own worst critic.
One of the things that I learned also over the past year, because that I've been applying from last year, my mom, Parkinson's slows the brain down. So it just takes longer to answer something. And the temptation when you ask a question is to fill the gap, to fill that. We're so trained in conversation that there shouldn't be a silence. And so you want to help. And what I realized was that I would ask mom a question and I would have to count in order to give her time, in my head, count to give her time to respond. And I realized that I actually needed to do that with myself so that other people, my anticipation of what they wanted didn't fill the void. So I set a rule for myself that I've been deploying for 2024, which has made things much healthier for me, that when an exciting opportunity comes up or when I'm getting, actually, I do what Aaron's talking about is I tell people what I need right at the beginning. I sit down to have a conversation with someone about like this new project and it's very interesting. And I tell them at the front, I'm like, you're going to hear me talk about it in ways that make it sound like I want to get involved. And I do in the moment, but I am not allowed to give you an answer for 24 hours. Because if I do, my sense of FOMO, my sense of excitement is going to override my sense of what I actually need. And I have been doing that this year. And I have felt like as we're coming up on the end of the year, have felt much, much better.
And I would say the last thing on this is like, it is in project terms also, I have been shocked like that a lot of times people would rather you be honest then it turned out you can't do it.
Yes.
Like people would rather you say,
so true.
Somebody comes to me, they're like, can you write 10,000 words of this game? And I'm like, actually, I think I got like 1,000 words in me. so many times they will be like, okay, that's fine. We'll find somebody
Half
else.
Half of them are bad words
for,
right now.
For the other 9,000. And then like, and then the next year they'll come back and be like, oh, can you do 1,000 again? Or, hey, maybe you can do more. Versus if I tried to take the 10,000, it's 10 years late. And then they are feeling like they're in a worse situation. So you can always be honest. But yeah, before a crisis point and really knowing yourself is... You said something once a long time ago. I think it was Dan on a cruise. You said, say no to the projects that you don't want to do, because at some point you'll have to say no to ones that you do.
Yeah.
And yep. I love that wisdom.
Yeah. So with that, let me take you to your homework. I want you to use this time, the end of the calendar year, the end of the season, to think about what would be restorative for you. Don't think about what other people think are restorative. Like if you don't like the beach, beaches are not restorative. Think about something that would be restorative for you and then take a step to actually doing that. Yes, I am in fact giving you a writing excuse. This has been Writing Excuses. Now go rest.
Have you ever wanted to ask one of the Writing Excuses hosts for very specific, very you-focused help? There's an offering on the Writing Excuses Patreon that will let you do exactly that. The private instruction tier includes everything from the lower tiers, plus a quarterly one-on-one Zoom meeting with a host of your choice. You might choose, for example, to work with me on your humorous prose, engage Dong Wan's expertise on your worldbuilding, or study with Aaron to level up your game writing. Visit patreon.com/writingexcuses for more details.
Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. For this episode, your hosts were Mary Robinette Kowal, Dong Wan Song, Aaron Roberts, Dan Wells, and Howard Taylor. This episode was engineered by Marshall Carr Jr., mastered by Alex Jackson, and produced by Emma Reynolds. For more information, visit writingexcuses.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.